Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Our community partners for this week are Live, Love, Swim, and Counseling with Kayla. Make sure you follow them on all social media platforms. And hey, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and hit that notification button on all your podcast platforms for Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Listen, we need you to rate us, share those contents, and make sure you hit that notification button. I can't say that again. Listen, we need all the ratings. We need all the numbers that you can give. So would you just do us a favor? Go ahead, like, share, make a comment if you like, hit that notification button, give us that rating, and join us for another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Hey, hey, hey! Welcome to another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. We are so excited to be with you yet again on a lovely night recording. Our disclaimer before any episode is we record at night. Yes. So welcome to all of our new listeners. We're so excited that you decided to kick it with us, huh?
Kick it with us, yes.
So what are we talking about tonight?
Listen, you was in a deep discussion before we started. You told me to press the record because you was giving me a little Anita, giving you the best that I got, huh?
Best that I got tonight.
Tonight. And this the best that I got as well, because y'all, this has been a crazy week. I done had some crazy clients today. Like, I had a client yesterday who was determined to be autistic, and she met none of the requirements of autism. After I pointed it out to her, she was still focused on the fact that she wanted to have counseling by her autism.
Oh.
Not the real criteria she made, but autism, because she thinks she's autistic. Not that she got social anxiety with some schizoaffecto disorder, aka, yes, exactly what you thinking. Not that she thinks that. she says she autistic and she wants some help, but she ain't mean none of the requirements, y'all.
So she's self-diagnosed.
Baby, I asked her who diagnosed her. She said she manipulated the test. And so since she manipulated the test, she want to get tested as an adult, because as a kid, she manipulated the test to work in her favor so she won't be testing autistic. But she got a whole boyfriend, multiple friends. So, ma'am, you already out the game, because autistic people are not always social. And she know how to read social cues, because she asked me, what did I think? Why I was looking, that I was thinking. So I'm just saying, I'm not understanding, ma'am. So,
wow.
I don't know what's in the water, but don't y'all let y'all kids drink the water, okay? Don't tell them not to drink it.
We drink bottled water around here.
Listen.
No tap.
No tap. No tap and no cap. That's all I got. No tap and no cap. So Cindy wouldn't let me talk about what I really wanted to talk about, because she told me it was too deep. But I'm going to say what it was, because it's still the same thing. I want to talk about, so my pastor is talking about this series called Feelings, and the persons that he decided to base this series around, his part of the series around, is Sarah, Abram, and Hagar. And I told Cynthia that I wanted to talk about the biblical threesome. And she told me that was too deep, and she wasn't going there with me. However, she then started to share the revelation that she got. And so I really want to talk about I didn't want to talk about it in the sexual content. I want to talk about how we include people in the plans of God, because we become too impatient with God and we feel the need. Why is she over rolling her eyes though? And we feel the need to insert or to create a new plan until God's plan comes along and manifests. That's what I was talking about. The threesome, the biblical threesome. Because here it was, two people got a word. Two. But when they became impatient with the word they got, they included a third person in order to make it manifest for themselves. And how many times have you gotten a word and inserted a third person? And it wasn't the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying. I'm just asking some questions.
I don't have no situation like that.
Yeah, I hear her laughing. That means she's lying. She is lying.
I got a situation like that.
You may have never, you may not have one like that now, but you've had a situation like that.
Put it in the chat so I can know what you're talking about.
I'm not putting it in the chat because we ain't gonna talk about it if you don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm having a whole complete blind moment and my head is jet black. Anyways, yeah, and I told her, I told you no, because I don't feel like being deep. I really don't.
But then
and I just can't. I just, you know.
But then you brought out your deep book and gave me this whole revelation about the three people I'm talking about.
Yeah, but it's not in a it's not in alignment to what you're saying though. I was just telling you what the free meal.
You said what now? You was telling me that what?
I was telling you how the Holy Spirit had freed me up.
Right. And I'm just saying, well, we can't talk about this biblical threesome outside of the sense of sexual, but how we include, because I got the, I'm PG-13 for the people, like, but we got to include how we insert certain things or people in place as a tool or an asset to something God told us that we were supposed to do with this particular person or with these particular tools, how we insert our own tools in place. Like, that's what I was talking about.
Help the people then. Miss Shandrika, good licensed professional counselor.
I don't know what she gonna do, y'all, when I pursue this PhD.
I'm gonna call you Doctor licensed professional counselor.
Yeah, I'll pray for her.
Doctor.
So let's talk about the story. Let's talk about the story and how it applies to modern day. So for those who don't know, because we got some ain'ts, we got the saints and the ain'ts. So for those who may not know, who may need a refreshing, those who may have missed this story in Sunday school or maybe never attended Sunday school, okay? So we have Sarah, or at this time she was Sarah. Then we have Abram, which we know as Abraham. Then we have Hagar. So let's talk about Abraham. Abraham has made some bold moves up until this point, where he has packed up his whole family, all of his belonging stuff, everything, tents, everything, packed up his whole house and just went to walking. No direction, just started to go. As a matter of fact, they state that he had so much stuff that it was longer than 4 football fields. 4. Okay. So I always equate it to think about a fleet of 18 wheelers called Abraham's stuff. 18 wheelers full of stuff with Abraham in it, and Abraham talking to the trucker and saying, just drive. And he leading the people in his RV. So he in RV with his family. And then his stuff is in these 18 wheelers. Okay. Y'all got it? Did I paint a good picture? All right. So work with me. Now, he just lead. He just driving. Y'all know how gas is now, okay? He just driving, though. He don't know he going. The Lord ain't gave him instructions. The Lord told him when he get there, he get there. They pull over, they rest. And the Lord says, you have arrived and you're in the promised land. So they settle down. They get themselves together. Some family situations happen. And in that, at 75, God tells him and Sarah, who at this time was not in her prime, okay? She out of birthing range, okay? She out of the range to get pregnant. Her eggs should be dried up by this time. But she tells both of them, hey, I'm going to give you a son. And your son is going to produce so many seeds. Your legacy, your generation will be so great that it can't even be counted. If you tried, you'll lose count. Okay, that's summarization. And so Cynthia, go give me, when did this story start? In Genesis chapter what?
Well, it's just, I'm going to say 8, between 7.
I thought it was 6, 8. It's between 6 and 8. Okay, so y'all know. Go read the word for yourself. Great way. Anyway, so up to this point, they good. They chilling. God gives them this response. They like, cool. We are right. So 11 years into the promised land, 11 years into this thing. And guess what happened? Not no baby. No baby has happened, and it's been 11 years, a whole decade in a year. And by this time, Abram is 86.
He old,
okay? But you got to remember, these people live to be in their hundreds, okay? But he old. And he ain't worried about it. He know what God can do, of course, because he has tried him. He knows what he can do. But Sarah, on the other hand, Sarah, with an I, not with H, A-H, okay? Sarah says, hey, it's been 11 years. I'm summarizing, y'all. That's not what she said. This is the message version. Sarah says, message/voice version, because I'm telling you who talking, okay? So Sarah says to Abram, hey, God ain't came through. So we getting old. And I know you want a son. So I'm going to let you and my servant maid. So I'm going to let you and a girl who served me get it in. Okay. Cause I need for you to be satisfied at the fact that you have a legacy in the earth. Pause, stop the brakes. Abram had not complained about the fact the promise had not come through. Sarah had been insecure about the fact that the promise had not come through. A lot of times what happens with us when God has told us something, when it has not come to pass, we insert our own plan into action. Let me bring it a little bit closer to home. I so desperately, and I'm sure there are a lot of women who've been in my place, who are currently in my place, so desperately at the age of 29, decided that God had given me a promise at 25, but he had took too long. So I decided I was going to insert someone into the plan of the promise. That someone happens to be now my ex-husband. Okay, we gone. So I'm not trying to preach.
Silent in this church.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So I inserted him into a promise he was not capable or even accessible to handle. My pastor said this. Why did Sarah ask Hagar could she handle the promise of keeping, of carrying something that was her vision, not God's vision. She never asked her that. And there are plenty of people who have inserted people into their lives asking them to carry something they are not equipped to even handle.
Well.
And so when I talk about this threesome, I'm talking about who have you allowed into your space, given them a title, allowed them access to you when you knew there was an enemy.
Come here, Judas.
But let's talk about it. Let's talk about Judas. Because Judas was a great enemy. He was the only one of the 12 that could get Jesus to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was so protective of Jesus that none of them wanted to make that type of sacrifice. Who you allow into your circle to penetrate what God has already protected and covered?
Girl, you got me over here thinking, for sure.
So let's go back to the story of Sarah, Hagar, and Abraham. Okay. So Sarah gets impatient. Abraham still waiting. He like, I trust him. He gonna come through. Look what he done did for us. And all we did was pack our stuff up, got in the RV, took these 18-wheelers, drove. He provided the gas. He made sure we ain't run out of gas. I try to modernize this, okay? Okay. But Sarah said, hey, I got this surrogate. And she well capable. And I already gave her permission to sleep with you. She already live in a house. Somebody I trust. Go on ahead and do that thing so you can have a seed. He does it. Here's the kicker. Who are you allowing to dictate the vision that God gave you because they're impatient with the promise? Hello. Is this mic on? Hello. I'm just saying, because up to this point, Abraham had personal encounters with God. He knew what he was capable of doing, saw what God was capable of doing, was living in the fruits of what God had already promised him. And he never once complained. It was Sarah's ability to be impatient that provoked Abraham to get off guard to what God had already did and to remove his vision of being obedient. There are people in your life that you have allowed to come into your life that you've trusted with your most vulnerable selves, but they are penetrating your obedience with their plans.
I just don't believe Sarah understood the vision.
Baby, a whole angel came and talked to Sarah. How she not understand the vision?
No, what? you can hear it, but whether or not it penetrates your heart and you become a partner with the vision is a big difference. I don't believe she partnered with the vision. She always had her own agenda.
I disagree. You want me to tell you why I say she partnered with the vision?
Mm-hmm.
If she had never partnered with the vision, she would have never left.
I think there's levels to partnership. So I can agree to go, but I still, when I get there, I still feel some type of way, which is why, in the first place, this is how I look at this story. Sarah didn't have anything going for herself at the moment other than wanting a child. Well, that's why the child became the forethought. Like, it's everything that I want. She became obsessive with it
because as the years went on, and this is why she said, hey, go over there and hear Hagar and give me what I want.
But here's the thing. She was married to the vision. She just wasn't married to the process of the vision. Because she wanted the baby. She knew that the baby had to come. She understood the seed had to be there. She just was not married to the process of the vision. She enjoyed the vision. She was married to the vision because if she wasn't, she wouldn't be desperate enough to try to make it happen. She was married to the fact that she wanted her husband to have a seed in the earth. That she was married to. What she wasn't married to was the process of making it out, how that was going to happen through her. That's the part. It was the process, not the vision. She was married to the vision because if she wasn't, Hagar would have never came. She would have never told Abraham to go sleep with Hagar for this vision to come to pass.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Okay, so. And you know, let's go back. Because if you really want to talk, Abraham and Sarah had the most dysfunctioning relationship. First of all, they were brother and sister.
They were. Yes, they were.
And when they were on their way to the promised land, so say they stopped in a place that wasn't pleasant and they needed some gas. And Abraham... didn't feel comfortable in the place.
Hey, that's my sister. That ain't my wife.
Right. So he tells the governor of this here state, hey. Now the governor asked, "Is this your wife?" He said, "Nah, that's my sister," which he wasn't lying. She was his sister, but she was also his wife. So he wasn't fully telling the truth. The governor then gets sick. Stuff start happening in his city. He like, Who is she to you? Because something ain't right. Okay? I ain't had these problems before y'all came. So the governor say, look, take your wife, get your gas, and get the hell on. Okay? Okay, so we know he did this a couple of times. That wasn't the first time. That wasn't the last time. So he does this a couple of times on the way to the promised land. So they at the promised land. So we back, okay? So Abraham does what Sarah tells him to do. Pause. She literally took on the role that he had possessed up until this moment because he was the leader and she was the follower. But somewhere down the line...
Women been doing too much from the beginning.
Somewhere down the line.
They've been doing the most since the beginning.
She done switched on over to being the leader and him following. Pause. Have you allowed someone to penetrate your position? I know. I love silence, especially as a therapist, because that means you're thinking. So I know we can't have silence like that because we on these good here podcasts and y'all may be like, that's the end of the podcast. It's not this. I still talking. I'm sorry. We're going to get it together. Can't have this dead air, as they say. Okay, so y'all getting these nuggets because I ain't gonna remember because this the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit be talking, you don't remember nothing. You just be talking. Okay, so we know that there's a lot of penetration going on. A lot of things are being dysfunctioned in a dysfunctional situation that should have been functional had people just stayed in their lane. But some people didn't say anything. Like, so Abraham is obedient, not to God, but to Sarah. Has sex with Hagar. Hagar ends up with a baby called Ishmael. Here is the kicker. Ishmael is so awesome. He's the eldest. But here's the kicker. He doesn't get the promise. Now,
he gets a promise. He doesn't get the promise, though.
Right. No, let's go back. And the only reason he got the promise that he did get is because his mama ran away and God had to give her comfort. But we don't ever talk about that. Because had she not ran away, he would not have gotten anything. Huh? But a beast. But we're not going to go there. We're going to come back and go focus. Okay. So in customs of this good here culture, the eldest was the one who got the blessing. I let that sink in. The eldest got the blessing. Ishmael came first. Isaac came second. But Isaac was promised the God promise, the legacy God promise, versus the just out of safety and obedient promise. Because Hagar, Ishmael got the promise because of his mother's obedience to return to her abuser. But we're not going to talk about that. That's a whole nother story. We'll talk about that later. We want to talk about this threesome that's taking place, because this is the part of the story where we need to give you time to go get your notebook and your pen, because I got some questions for you, because I got to figure out how are you functioning in the second month of 2022 and everything already dysfunctional? Mm. How have you allowed certain things that God promised you in 2021, December 1st of 2021, to already be penetrated by ideas, compromise, frustration, discouragement, devaluation, and disobedience? How did you get here? How did you allow this third person or this third entity to come and get you off focus from your lane and your position? How did you get to this place where you forgot who God was? Because in the end, Abraham forgot who the God who knows all and sees all was. And he made Sarah his God. Who you done made your God?
Well,
I'm just asking.
But what have you made?
That part. Because Sarah had made the promise of pregnancy her God.
Mm-hmm.
And when that promise never manifest, she created a God to idolize, which was Hagar. Hagar then ran, and then in her running, she met God, who gave her the ability to stay. And so you got to get into a place where you are asking yourself, what biblical threesome have I threw myself in?
A conundrum.
I'm just saying. I'm just trying to figure it out. Because, y'all, I had to think about that thing for myself. I had to reflect on the fact that I threw myself in the threesome when I got married to a man who wasn't prepared to carry my promise nor cover it. I had to figure about the threesome when I decided that I was going to do things my way and not God's way. How many times? Too many to count. Mm-hmm. And how I went kicking and screaming back to him, asking him why. And his response was, because you made it a God and not me the God. Or why, even in my singleness, I have made the inability of comparison, the paralyzation of comparison. Not inability, the paralyzation of comparison to be my rubricate of my success.
Hmm.
So we sitting up here wondering, like, God, why you ain't came through? Why you ain't did this? Why you ain't did that? Maybe it's because we paralyzed, we've penetrated someone in his position and caused a threesome where it should have been a twosome.
God is calling us to be monogamous in the spirit.
Hallelujah. Right. And she got a sneaky link.
Hey! Come on, sneaky link.
You got a whole sneaky link. Why she commentary.
Come on back.
Right. Got a whole sneaky link. And you asking God to operate in his position, but you calling your sneaky link when he don't come through.
Mmm. That hit different. I'm over here itching, Lord.
So silly. You are so special.
Jesus, you coming for folks' toes today.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
That's good. I mean, it makes you definitely think about the relationships that you have in this season. Mm-hmm. It makes you consider whether or not you have somebody in that God space, taking up the seat of your heart where God should be. Mm-hmm. It makes you think, you know, am I even in that seat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I placing myself in the position of where God should be in my life? Because sometimes we idolize ourselves.
My God.
And so you have to think and take a moment and take a step back and say, who is in the seat? Who is in God's seat on my heart?
Mm. Yeah.
Because clearly God ain't there. Ain't no God in that sis. No God in that bro.
Right.
But, yeah, I can countless amount of times of having to really step back and think about who I placed in God's seat. Because so many times when we get our hands in the mix like Sarah, it'll work for a while. It'll be convenient for a while.
That part.
And then when stuff goes to hell in the handbasket, we begin to look for God. And if you get back into alignment with God and you continue to speak with the Holy Spirit, you'll find that God wasn't in it at all.
Not at all.
And it comes with really taking accountability. It comes with being very self-aware with how prideful and controlling and manipulating you really are. But that takes great self-discovery to really dig deep down into yourself and pull those things out and place it, you know, in the forefront. Because don't nobody want to admit that they be manipulating situations. And don't nobody want to admit, you know, that, hey, I'm prideful.
Ooh.
Nobody really wants to admit that I did this to myself.
Huh? Self-infliction wounds, huh?
Yeah, so I think it takes great maturity. This is I said this last night, but this is a mature, sober word for the season that we're in. And we have to really get to a place where we stop telling ourselves lies. Ooh. And tell ourselves the truth. Because the truth is, you knew this person didn't have the capacity to hold your vision. You just needed a placeholder. Mm. And they were willing to fill the space.
My God, listen, who y'all need to cash out? What y'all need? Pass this collection plate. Listen.
I mean, even, you know, just thinking in my life, because I was really contemplating. I was quiet because I was listening, trying digging deep into the mental file 13s. I got several cabinets that I put stuff away in. But I was really thinking, like, you know, how many times I've had people in the seat where God should have been, mm-hmm. and how I'm even dealing with some of the residual results or the residue mm-hmm. of the decisions that I made when I had other people, places, and things. I call those the nouns of life in the position where God should have been. Mm. And so I find myself here now, as I'm growing and continuing to mature, I'm finding that I'm always telling my business on this here podcast. I don't like that. Anyway, I'm finding that a lot of the residue that I'm dealing with is because I was disobedient. Mm. And I heard God when he told me the promise. I heard God when he told me the vision. I heard God when he said that it would be this way. But I thought that it was just going to magically come. Like, it was just going to fall out of the sky and it was going to happen when I wanted it to happen. But because it didn't, I did it my way. I did it my way.
Listen, but you not by yourself. You are at a place in a position. You are in a space, and we are all in this space where we forget who we are and who God is. And we don't give him the room to manifest his promises because we're too busy and too impatient with the process. And that's what we see with Sarah. There's an impatientness. And here's the kicker. You were talking about residue of faith. We still dealing with the residue of Ishmael and Isaac to this day. We are dealing with it in so many spaces. So what would have looked like had they waited for the promise? What would the world look like had they waited for the promise? What would the space of Christianity and Judaism and Islamicism, I'm sorry. What would all of that look like had there not been an Ishmael? What would it look like? And so we don't realize, like, it doesn't just affect that third party, doesn't just affect you in that situation or that circumstance or that person or persons. It literally leaves a legacy even in your death. So even though we're talking about we want the blessings of Abraham, pardon me, but like, no, I don't. Because the process becomes too great, too grand, and can become toxic if we allow it. So now I'm like, God, can I get the promises of Abraham without the process? Because Jesus paid it all. I'm just trying to figure out. Listen, and that's how we act. We want the promise, but we don't want the process. We want to say Jesus played it all. So why we got to keep going through the process?
That's good. And even it, speaking of residue, we don't realize how the decisions that we make not only just affect us, but it affects every generation that comes behind us.
Right, most definitely.
So it's not just us. And I think sometimes we get confused or we negate that it's not just happening to us. It hits everyone that comes behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even with Abraham and Sarah, Sarah wasn't considering the fact, oh, when she has this child, you know, how is this going to affect my son when he comes? If you continue to read on in chapter 8, you'll know that Isaac and Ishmael, the reason why Hagar left was because Isaac and Ishmael were bickering. They were fighting. And so because of the decisions of the mothers, the next generation is in contention.
So I want to say... What do you do when you just being obedient to the one you serve? Because Hagar was just being obedient.
That's when you caught in the crossfire.
Right.
I call them innocent bystanders and casualties to war. It's one of those things where, like, your intentions were good and your motives were pure. And you just wanted to help, but in the crossfire, you get hurt. You're just a casualty to war. And me speaking on the position of Sarah, like, we don't consider who we hurt in the process. And that's where that accountability piece comes from. Like, we don't take account for all of the innocent bystanders that we hurt just because we want what we want.
When we want it, how we want it, where we wanted it.
Yeah. And that's one of the hardest things in my process of healing is really taking accountability for the innocent people that I hurt as a casualty to war. The war that was within me. And if I could have a conversation with Sarah right now, I'd be like, girl, what you was going through? You needed Jesus and therapy, sis. Both on.
Come sit on this couch and take up this cross and follow me, okay?
Because there was an internal battle that Sarah was having. One of not being good enough. I believe she was dealing with identity issues.
Insecurity.
She felt very inadequate. She felt as though she was ineffective as a wife.
So that's full eyes right now.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things, like, you really should have been having some self-care going on.
But I also think she got caught up in the spirit of comparison. Well, you know, God, I know you gave us this promise, but my age says. The world says, society says that by this particular age, I should have at least this amount of kids. And society says that by this particular age, I should be here with my career. And society says this, and society says that. And the culture says this, and the culture says that. And... so we're not going to talk about it. And so I really feel like Sarah created some issues with Hagar because Hagar was able to produce what she couldn't at the time. And so I don't even think it was about the boys bickering. I don't even think it's about them getting into it. I think when she saw that moment, she realized how much authority she had given Hagar and the consequences of those of that authority. And then she realized that she shorted herself out on a true promise.
What happened when you shoot your own self in the foot?
Right. You had self-inflicted wounds. So instead of addressing the self-inflicted wounds, she projected the self-inflicted wounds onto Hagar.
And Hagar wasn't your problem, sis.
Hagar was not the problem. Your inability to wait out the process was.
That's a whole word. You got to be still and know. Huh?
Get out your feelings, is what my pastor said. Get out your feelings.
You got to be still and know.
Well, and she wasn't still enough. Mm-hmm. Even after an angelic encounter. What do you do when God comes and sit on your bed and tell you it's on the way, but you got to endure the process? What you do?
Wait.
Okay. You back? So what's the takeaways for tonight? What's your takeaways?
Say no to the middleman, honey. Just wait, sis. Just wait, because... Honey, when you don't wait, you end up with baby daddies. When you don't wait, you end up with bad debt, bad credit, bad drive, kinds of bad stuff. Sis, just wait. Just wait. I'm speaking. Look, I ain't new to this. I'm true to. Okay. Just wait on the Lord. You hit a brick wall long enough, honey, your head gonna get smashed.
Wait on the Lord and be of good courage.
Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Huh?
Wait.
And trust the process. You gotta trust the process. The race wasn't built for the swift. Nor for the strong, but to those who could endure until the end.
The whole end, not the end that you thought was the end. Not at the wrist area. That's not the end. The end is the house.
No. And I think that it is important to say that in the process, you have to surround yourself with godly community, godly counsel, and they help you to wait well. Because we all have our moments where we get sick of waiting. I do.
Huh? Shatai. Yes, God.
But, you know, that godly community helps you to really back in and wait well and keep your posture in a correct place and keep your heart pure.
Pure.
I said pure.
Pure. Not pure. Pure.
Okay. Keep it pure. And I just believe, you need you some godly community. You need to always check self first and see if you have something or someone sitting in the place where God should be.
Yeah, that'll preach, huh? Cash App us, huh? Is in the description. Anyway, no. Y'all, my takeaway is one, you better trust the promises of God and be obedient. Huh? You better be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Why sacrifice the promise? Because you too busy, too anxious, too upset, too worried that it won't come to pass.
And the Bible says be anxious
for nothing but through prayer and supplication. Make your request known with praise and thanksgiving. Come through. Find yourself a place of praise and thanksgiving. Listen, if you ever get to the point where you feel like you're ready to sacrifice what God has already promised you, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Oh, okay.
Allow yourself the space to examine your motives. if you making a decision, but your motives ain't God-centered, that ain't the decision for you. Bruh, sis, that ain't the decision you need to make. And lastly, don't operate in the four eyes. What is the four eyes? Cynthia, help me. What is your four eyes? The four eyes.
It was the Holy Ghost speaking. I don't remember.
The four eyes is... well, we don't remember y'all.
Identity.
Identity. What is it? Inconsistency. We gonna, I'm going to make us a new eyes. Identity, inconsistency. What you say? Inconsistency, identity.
Your integrity.
That too, integrity. One more eye. These ain't even original. See, that's why you have to write stuff down. I should have wrote it down when the Holy Spirit told me to.
I'll just be
what's the last eye?
I don't know. Tell them to rewind.
Right, rewind it. We sorry. We may have to rewind and put it in somewhere. But listen, operating them four eyes that we talked about earlier, okay? Operating them. And allow yourself the space for grace. I'm going to always say that. And last but not least, if you are in a place where you're about to have a threesome and penetrate, and you're about to allow something to penetrate where God should be, go to therapy.
You better.
Huh? Go to therapy. Find your therapist. Psychology Today. Nobody asked us, but let me help you. Go to Psychology Today. They have great filters. Huh? Psychology Today is your best friend. Word of mouth is your second. Go get you some help to help you understand where you continue to go wrong when it comes to this threesome. Because the only three people that should be in your life is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Holy Ghost.
Activate. Huh? This is her clap. That noise in the back is her clapping times the Holy Ghost activate. Holy Spirit activate. Holy Spirit activate. Listen. You know
what? That really does work. I don't care what nobody say. But listen. When I say Holy Spirit activate, honey, something happens.
Listen, I said in church before I prayed and he activated. Listen, he came on through. Amen. Holy Spirit, come on. Activate in me. Listen, y'all. We appreciate y'all. We adore you. Y'all better go to our Facebook page, Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Y'all, we are going to pop up and do a live. We ain't going to tell nobody. We just going to pop on up. It's going to be sometime when. We ain't going to tell you the time. But if you following us, if you got your notifications on the face of books, you'll see us and we gonna pop up and y'all think we are silly on this podcast, baby. Watch us live and in person. Oh, the things that we will say. And it won't be recorded. So don't be like, is it recorded? Nope, it will not be recorded. This will be just for the people. But we appreciate you all, so don't forget to go follow us on Facebook. We're going to work on the Instagram. That's our next project. Probably need to get a cash out. Somebody may want to bless us. What you think? Monetize. I don't know how that works. What's legal? We'll look into that. Anyway, y'all, we're so excited about this season. We only have...
Y'all looking to get us some guests on here. That'd be good.
So who?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We'll have guests, but they got to have the spirit. We're not going to let them penetrate what we make. They got to come through.
Oh, Lord. I'm tempted.
Anyway, you all enjoy your day, your night, your evening, your morning. We appreciate you. We'll holler at you next week.